This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Famma ba'du, my dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with a beautiful religion. And perhaps the most significant thing about Islam is the fact that it is so completely and totally focused on action. There's no intellectualizing in Islam. There's no philosophizing in Islam. Everything in Islam is oriented towards applying it in our lives, with the added benefit that if we do that correctly and with the correct intention, which is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this becomes a means also of earning goodness for ourselves in the akhirah and earning reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dunya is a place of action which gives us benefit here as well as in the akhirah. So it's a double benefit. Helps me here and helps me in the akhirah as well. And that's why Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Ad-dunya mazra'ul akhirah." He said the dunya is the fields, it is the tillage, it is the agriculture, it is the garden, you know. Mazra basically means fields and farm for the akhirah, meaning that this is the place where we need to plant to get a harvest for ourselves in the akhirah. And of course, what goes without saying is that the harvest is for us in this dunya wal akhirah. This is our lesson, inshallah, on living Islam. To give you one of the most simplest and most powerful examples, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The smile is sadaqah." Right? If a person smiles, if you smile at your brother, if you smile at another person, the smile is sadaqah. Now, obviously, you know and I know that if you have a smiley face, meaning not the smiley, meaning, you know, you are a cheerful countenance, if you have a cheerful face, and if you always smile at people, then the immediate benefit is that you make a lot of friends. People will like you, people will be attracted towards you. You smile, somebody smiles back at you, so that makes you also feel good, right? Smiling by itself makes you feel good. Somebody smiles back at you, it makes you feel good. So there is a measurable, perceivable benefit in this life itself. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is sadaqah. What is the meaning of sadaqah? It means that this will be recorded in your book of records with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a reward will be given for it. How much reward? As much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. As much as Allah wants. We have the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man was going to another town or village or whatever it was to meet his friend. So here is the guy who is going there to meet his friend. On the way, he met another man. And the man asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to such and such place. He said, for what? He said, to meet my friend. He said, what is the reason to meet the friend? He said, no reason, just like that. I mean, he's my friend. I haven't seen him for a long time. Just for the strengthening of our friendship. I miss my friend, so I'm going to meet my friend. So this person, this human being, this person he met, he says, are you sure that you are not going there to collect some debt that you have? Maybe you loaned some money to this person, he's going to pay you back, or you're going to ask him for the money to pay back, or you are going there to do some business or something. I said, no, nothing, none of that. This is my friend, I love him, and I haven't seen him for a long time, and so on and so forth. So therefore, I am going to meet this friend. This human being, apparently what looked like a human being, then comes into his natural form, and he is an angel. He is a malak, that has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I am an angel and I have been sent to inform you that this action of yours, that you went from your home to your friend's home to meet your friend because you missed your friend, because you want to strengthen the bond of friendship, you have no other reason to meet your friend. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you and your friend all your sins. Now think about that. Here is an action. The person is taking it. Why was he doing it? He was doing it because he missed his friend. So when he goes to his friend, the friend will be, inshallah, happy to meet him, and you know they will have a good time. They'll be happy to be with each other. So in this life itself, they've got benefit. But for both of them, there is a benefit in the Akhirah, on the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you shake your hand of your friend, musafah, when you shake the hand of your friend, when you clasp his hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of both. Allah forgives the sins of both. Right? If you say assalamu alaikum to somebody, what does he say? He says, wa alaikum assalam. You gave him a dua, you said, may peace be on you, and he says, and on you also, may there be peace. Both of these statements are also rewardable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm giving you very, very simple examples so we understand how practical and how action-oriented is this religion of ours. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you weigh, give more. To the customer, give more. In our modern parlance, in customer service, we call it customer delight, not just customer satisfaction. What is customer satisfaction? To give the customer what the customer expects. It's customer satisfaction. This is what I expected. I got it. There's this very nice advertisement, ad film, of this couple with a little boy. Now, the boy is maybe three years old or something like that, maybe 2 to 3 years old. So these three, they have gone, they are checking into a hotel. The father is checking in. The mother is standing there at the counter. This little kid is running around and his shoelaces are undone. Right? So obviously the child might step on the thing, it might fall. So the general manager of the hotel, who is also in the lobby, he comes to the child. He sits down on the ground, he squats, and he is tying and doing up the laces of this little child. Now what is he doing? He is giving more. Why? Because to tie the laces of the child is not the job of the general manager. The general manager can draw the attention of the mother or the father and say, look, your child's shoelaces are undone. This is a potential danger. Or he can even call somebody, one of the hotel employees, and tell him, please, you know, do that. He's doing it himself. Customer delight. From customer satisfaction to customer delight. Customer satisfaction, these people are checking into the hotel. The fact that they must have a good check-in experience, meaning that they have booked in advance, so the person at the check-in counter calls up the reservation, and within a matter of a few seconds or a couple of minutes at the most, they are handed their room key and somebody is taking their luggage to the room. This is, alhamdulillah, very nice, very satisfying. You're very happy. You're not expecting the general manager of the hotel to be tying the shoelaces of your little child. That is customer delight, more than what you expect. So now we have the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is he saying? He's saying, do not just give customer satisfaction, give customer delight. These are not the words of the hadith, these are my words, but I am translating the hadith into modern parlance. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when you weigh, give more. He didn't say give as much as is just. That goes without saying. Obviously, don't steal, don't give less. But give more. Give as what is required and give more. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you to be just and then give more. Ihsan, excellence. So if I now cultivate, if I have an organization, and in my organization, I practice this and my whole organization practices this, which is we practice the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is when you weigh, give more. You might say, well, you know what, if I'm not a Muslim, so what? This is not religion we are talking here, even though the one who said it is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are talking behavior. We are talking how do you treat your customer. Whether the customer is a Muslim or not, whether you are a Muslim or not, makes no difference. The treatment of a customer is the treatment of a customer and it gets you rewards. What is that? Give more. Focus on customer delight, customer satisfaction, make that a given. Quality, make it a given. Right? The customer should be dealt with justly is a given. Then give more. Give a gift. Give a bonus. Give a discount. Give an upgrade. Give a smile. How difficult is that? And you have customer delight. Now, a Muslim does that with the intention of pleasing Allah, with the intention that he or she is following the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so they are bringing the sunnah alive. Two benefits. One, the worldly benefit. You will be loved. Your business will be loved. You will get repeat business. People will come to your hotel and whatever it is, your airline or whatnot, they'll stand in a long line. All of this will happen. Plus, you will get reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will get reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Emirates is my favorite airline. I'll tell you why. We were in Leeds several years ago, my wife and I, visiting my parents-in-law. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them both Jannatul Firdaus ul-Ala bighayri hisab. Both of them passed away. My mother-in-law passed away just a couple of weeks ago. So we were in Leeds and we were returning to India. And the flight was from Manchester. It was Manchester, Dubai, Dubai, Hyderabad, Emirates. Now, Emirates provides an airport drop service. So we were waiting for the airport drop vehicle to come. And he got delayed. And he got very badly delayed because that day happened to be the day of Leeds Marathon. So all the normal roads to our house were shut down because the marathon was running. And this guy was new, he was not a local person, so he didn't know all the back roads. So eventually he was a smart guy, so eventually when he couldn't figure out which way to go and so on and so on, maybe I think his Google Maps didn't work or something, he flagged down a cab, a local cab, and he told him, please take me to this place, and the cab driver brought him. So he came. Now we got into the vehicle and we left for Manchester. Now, we got to the airport in time, but we were delayed, but flight was still, hadn't left. And then now going through the security, the Manchester airport security is among the slowest in the world. So it was very, very slow. And, you know, these are pre-COVID days, so pretty big crowd. To make a long story short, by the time we finished all that and we got to the concourse, we got to the door of the aircraft, literally in front of our eyes, the doors shut and the aircraft left without us. Our luggage had already been loaded, they offloaded it and we got it. Now, what do we do? So, we went back to the Emirates check-in counter and there was a young man there. I told him, look, this is what has happened. We were ready to come, but it's the airport pickup, Emirates airport pickup, which delayed us. And this is what's happened now. We missed the flight. So what do we do? Now, this is what I'm talking about. When you weigh, give more. Now, technically speaking, we missed the flight. So, rule is what? Buy a new ticket. Right? Buy a new ticket. This guy says to us, he checked and he knew I was not lying, so he knew it was the truth. So he says to me, he says, either I can fax Dubai and ask them for clearance to give you a ticket on the afternoon's flight, which was about maybe about four or five hours later. Or I can just give you a ticket on the afternoon's flight and you pay a flight cancellation charge of, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was £60 or something like that per ticket. So it was about £120. So he says, you pay £120, I will give you a reservation on the next flight. That way you can go into the lounge and you can relax there and you can, you know, get food to eat and so on and so forth. You don't have to hang around here until I get a response from Dubai. You go and relax in the lounge and you go. And once you reach Hyderabad, he said, apply to customer service for a refund of this amount. And I will give you a form to say that this happened because of our delay in bringing you to the airport. So I said, okay, makes sense. And this guy, you know, is so nice of him to offer this to me. So I said, alhamdulillah. Paid him £160 or whatever that amount was. And we got this paper and we got boarding passes for the next flight. We went to the lounge, alhamdulillah. We did, it was time for Salah. We prayed and we, you know, Emirates lounge is beautiful, fantastic food. So we had nice food, relaxed and all that. Reached home. Took the next flight, got home. After we got home, I just sent an email saying, this is what happened. This is the letter and we applied for a refund. What happens? We get a reply from Emirates saying, of course, apologizing, sorry for this thing which happened. Here is the refund and we are giving both of you 20,000 miles credit on your frequent flyer. 20,000 miles each credit on our frequent flyer. We did not expect to get that. I didn't even ask for it. Comes from Emirates. What are they practicing? I hope they're doing it consciously. But whether or not, what are they practicing? When you weigh, give more. Customer delight. Do something for the customer which the customer loves. So now, that's why Emirates is my favorite, absolute favorite airline. Wherever, if Emirates flies somewhere, I do not fly on anything other than Emirates. The only way I will go to some place on an airline other than Emirates is if Emirates doesn't fly to that place. Because of this kind of behavior. The point I'm making is we have a beautiful religion, which if we practice it, will give us immeasurable, perceivable benefits in this life, as well as reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, inshallah. Right? So that is the whole point of living Islam. Now, my brothers and sisters, we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions this as far as the living of Islam is concerned. Surah Al-Hujurat, for example, is a surah which is replete with direct instructions of what to do, how to do, how to behave, right? I have, there's a book of mine called Akhlaq of the Ummati, which is, it's not tafsir, but it's an explanation and lessons from different ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat, almost the whole surah. So do read it when you have the time. Here, the ayat that I want to present before you is from ayah number 10 to number 13, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir raheem, innamal mu'minoon ikhwatun faaslihu bayna akhawaykum, wattaqullaha la'allakum turhamoon. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum wala nisa'un min nisa'in asa an yakunna khayran minhunna wala talmizu anfusakum wala tanabazu bil alqab bi'sa ismul fusuq ba'da al iman وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَّحِيمٌ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُم مِّن ذَكَرٍ وَأُنثَىٰ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعْرَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِندَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means the believers are but brothers. And remember, all of this is gender neutral. Brothers does not mean brothers only, it means brothers and sisters. And as you will see even here, in some places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to emphasize, has mentioned the men and the women separately. But as you will see in Islam, the ruling is the same irrespective of gender, whether you are a man or a woman. What you should do is the same, the reward is the same, the punishment is the same. The responsibility is the same, the accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for both. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the believers are but brothers. So make settlement between your brothers. If there is a dispute, then settle that dispute. Don't put some more fuel in the fire. Don't instigate that dispute. Don't start disputes. Don't create problems. And if you see there is a problem, cover it up. If you see that the problem, solve it, resolve it, help them to resolve it. The believers are but brothers, so make settlement. وَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ Make settlement between your brothers. And fear the anger of Allah. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ So that you may receive mercy. O you who have believed, do not let people ridicule other people. Perhaps they, meaning the one you're making fun of, may be better than you, may be better than them. So there's two group of people. Don't let some people make fun of other people. The people they are mocking may be better than the people who are mocking them. And do not let women ridicule other women. Perhaps they may be better than them. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing this separately for the men and women, but the rule is the same, which is do not mock and do not ridicule other people, man or woman, because it is possible that they might be better than you in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, and do not insult one another, and do not call each other by offensive nicknames. Think about that, how much these things have become part of our culture. Right? We think it is fun. It's not fun. In Islam, it is haram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, do not insult one another. Don't use profanity. Don't curse. Don't use bad language. Do not insult one another. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and do not give each other offensive nicknames. Wretched is the name of disobedience after one's faith. It's how bad is it? How nasty is it that you disobey Allah after you have come to the faith? And whoever does not repent, then it is they who are the zalimun. They are the wrongdoers. So here you're getting some admonition, you're some warning. Repent. If you've been doing this, be contrite, go apologize, make amends. If you don't do that, then you are the oppressors and you are the zalimun, the wrongdoers. And then Allah says, O you who believe, avoid suspicion. Avoid suspicion. Right? This is such a beautiful advice. Allah says, لا تجسسو. جاسوسی مت کرو. Avoid suspicion. Stop spying on each other. And Allah says, indeed, some suspicion is sin. Because you're making these negative assumptions. When we say suspicion, the word itself has a negative connotation. We don't talk about, I suspect this person might be very charitable. No, you're suspecting the person, and always the suspicion is negative. So Allah is saying that suspicion is a sin. Do not spy on one another. Do not backbite each other. Would you, one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would detest it. And so do not backbite one another, because backbiting is like eating the flesh of your dead brother or sister. And fear the anger of Allah, wattaqullah, and be conscious of the pleasure of Allah. Indeed, Allah is accepting of repentance and merciful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after warning, is again giving a bashara. And Allah is saying that Allah is merciful and repent and accepts repentance, but repent. If you're doing something wrong, make sure that you repent. And then Allah says, would you like to eat the flesh? I mean, imagine this example which Allah is giving. And Allah says, فَكَرِهْتُمْ, you will detest it. Even this example you find disgusting. That is how bad it is, this behavior of backbiting, this behavior of spying on each other. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O mankind, indeed we have created you from a male and a female, and made you into different people and tribes and ethnicities, that you may know one another, that you may recognize one another, that you may love one another, you may respect one another, you may appreciate one another, right? So this know one another is لِتَعَارَفُ, to have the ta'aruf of each other. This has multiple meanings, and it's a very wide term which takes into account all these things, all of which are positive. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is most righteous. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is the one who is most righteous. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Indeed, Allah is fully knows and is fully acquainted in Allah. Alimun khabir. Allah has the knowledge and Allah has the khabar. He knows. Now think about this. This ayat, Allah is talking about some specific behaviors. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that if you see a dispute between two people or two groups of people, then what is your job? Your job is not to watch the fun. Your job is not to be an idle spectator. Your job is not just to walk away. Your job definitely is not to throw fuel on the fire. Right? There are people who love doing these kind of things. Yeah, people really, I mean, I tell you, this is so nasty, so bad. People who love, sharpasand log hai, right? They're people who instigate problems. Where there is no problem, they instigate problems. Between husband and wife, between friends, between inside a community, inside a masjid, they instigate evil. They talk about bad to about each other. Now here Allah is saying, first of all, that is so reprehensible, but not even that. You didn't instigate anything. You just saw this dispute happening between two people. What must you do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, resolve it. Go and help them to resolve it. Go sit with both of them. Talk some sense into them. Right? Do your best to make sure that hearts come together. And then Allah said, and fear Allah, do this in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you don't do this, then beware, you might incur the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do this, then inshallah, you will receive the mercy of Allah. Allah will forgive you. Irrespective of whether you are successful or not in resolving the dispute, the fact that you made the effort will be something that is beneficial for you. You will receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't mock each other. Remember, we are not talking about having fun, laughing together, having fun together, enjoying the bounties of Allah. Alhamdulillah, this is very good. We are talking about mocking and ridiculing each other. All ethnic jokes, all gender-based jokes, right? All race-based jokes. All of these are not funny. They are not funny at all. They are nasty. In Islam, they are prohibited. Making fun of somebody because of any reason, laughing at somebody else, is prohibited in Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember, you are laughing at that person, but maybe in the sight of Allah, that person is far superior to you. This happened with all the Anbiya, alayhimus salam. The people who opposed them, they laughed at them, they mocked them. It happened with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. People called him Majnoon, they called him, they said he is, you know, they said to him that he is crazy. They said he is possessed. They said, you are a poet, which means that whatever you are saying is just poetry. It has no meaning. It's just some, you know, words. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, na'udhu billahi min dhalik. But who was superior? Who is superior? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or those who mocked him? So Allah is saying that this is possible with you and whoever you are mocking. Obviously, they are not the messengers of Allah, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe they are great awliya of Allah, Allah knows best, whoever. But Allah says that in sight of Allah, they might be better than you. And this thing of mocking each other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this is such, may Allah forgive us, this is such an intrinsic part of our social interaction, of our culture, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to mention men and women separately. And remember here, Allah is not saying only women do this, no. Men and women. That's why Allah said, you people don't do it, and the women again, let the women not do it, because maybe this group of women or this woman who is mocking the other one, maybe in the sight of Allah, the other one is better than this one. This man or this group of men mocking somebody else, maybe they are better than them. And believe me, if you are mocking somebody, then those are definitely better than you, because you are directly disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how good can you be anyway? Right? So very, very clear instructions of behavior. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not insult one another, do not call each other offensive nicknames. All of this is reprehensible behavior. And Allah says, how wretched it is that you have come to the faith, you recite Quran, and the same tongue you use for cursing, the same tongue you use for profanity, the same tongue you use for bad language and for mocking at somebody. How nasty and dirty is that? And then Allah says, whoever does not repent, then they are the zalimun. Remember, if you are a zalim, then Allah will punish you, illa mashallah. And then Allah says, avoid suspicion and avoid spying, and do not backbite each other. Think about this. How many people are there who check their husbands and wives' phone messages? Right? If somebody came and asked me, is it permissible to do that? I said, no, forget about permissible. As far as I'm concerned, if you are checking your wife's phone messages, your marriage is in serious trouble already. Permissible or not permissible, your marriage is in trouble, in serious trouble. If your wife is checking your messages, then your marriage is in serious trouble. Because it just shows a complete breakdown of trust. And if there is such a breakdown of trust, what kind of marriage is that? It's a joke. Respecting the privacy of your spouse is supremely important. It's a matter of respect for each other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, don't suspect. And suspicion is a very nasty thing, because the problem with suspicion is that the person you are suspecting has no defense. How can you prove you did not do something? By definition, evidence can only be of action. If I do something, there will be evidence. But if I did nothing, there can be no evidence. How can I produce evidence of not doing something? Logically speaking, that's impossible. And the problem with suspicious people is that no amount of evidence will satisfy them. This shak jo itni zaleel bimari hai. Seriously, go make tawbah, make istighfar. Apologize to your husband or wife or whoever it is, your friend, who you have been suspecting, and say, I'm extremely sorry, I apologize to you. Don't suspect. There's no end to this. It just goes on and on and on until it completely destroys that relationship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not suspect. Allah is saying, do not spy on one another. Don't stand behind walls and listen to conversations and, you know, try to record this, record that. Astaghfirullah. All of these are signs of a deep sickness of that relationships. Of that relationship. It means that relationship is destroyed from inside. There's nothing there. Please remember that. Do not do that. And Allah said, and backbiting is the result of this. Bad talking each other. If there is something you do not like about somebody, go directly to that person, sit with them, speak with respect, speak with love. Tell them what it is you don't like. Why don't you like it? What is wrong with that? And convince them to change themselves. And if they don't change themselves, no problem. At least you did your duty. And then stand in the night and cry tears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh Allah, I did my best. Now the hearts are in your hands. You can change hearts. Please change the heart of this person. Make this person change their behavior. I tell people, if you do not have the, if you say, well, you know, this is too much trouble, I can't do it, then forget it. It means you are really not interested in the correcting that person. You are interested in your own ego. Save yourself from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't bad talk other people. Do not talk. They asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, what if what we are saying is true? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is ghibah. If it is true, then that is backbiting. If it is not true, then it is slander. It is buhtan, which is even worse. Somebody came and told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there is these two ladies who are complaining of severe stomachache, severe upset stomach, severe stomachache, cramps in the stomach. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them and said, let them, he asked them to vomit. You know, put your finger inside. When they vomited, they actually vomited lumps of flesh. Now this was a mojiza of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala converted this ghibah into actual lumps of flesh, which he mentioned in the Quran, where he said it's like eating the flesh of your dead brother. Imagine this kind of example. I mean, why would you eat? I mean, how disgusting it is to say you're eating a dead body, and that's for your own brother who died, and you're taking chunks out of his body, and you're eating that meat. I mean, how disgusting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, it is disgusting. Allah says, your behavior is worse than that. Your behavior is worse than that. That is disgusting. So don't do it. And then Allah says, do not call each other offensive nicknames. How bad it is that you call each other offensive nicknames. And then he says, do not eat the flesh of your dead brother. And then, of course, the mercy of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, repent and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. My brothers and sisters, today we have a society which is based on, we have social interactions which is based on ghibah. The whole time. Seriously, if you don't believe me, just record your conversations. Just record, alhamdulillah, we've got technology. Just record your conversation when you are in a, you know, in a gathering, you're sitting with somebody, you're having a phone conversation. Turn the recorder on your phone, keep it in your pocket. Listen to that conversation after that and you will see how much of ghibat you're doing. You're bad talking this person, that person. Remember, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you do the ghibat of somebody, your good deeds go to that person. That's the reason why Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayh, he said, if I want to do ghibah, I will do the ghibat of my mother because I want my good deeds to go to my mother. How pathetic it is that you are doing the ghibat of somebody you dislike, obviously, and your good deeds go to that person. So on the day of judgment, you are going to be bereft of good deeds, you are going to be bankrupt, and that person is going to laugh all the way into Jannah with your good deeds. How would you like that? Please don't do that. Do not do that. How many people completely impervious, right? The whole time you are talking about, oh, she did this, she did that, he did this, he did that, and this person is like this, and you know they are this way, and their intention is bad, and so Allah, habla khota habla. You talk about intention. You went into that person's heart to see what their intention was. My brothers and sisters, say, let us save ourselves before we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which is the crowning glory, if I can say that, which is the ayat which talks about racial and equality of in every way in Islam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum." Allah said that you have been created, men and women, from one man and one woman, which is Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam. Allah said you have been created from these two. So, there is no superiority of one over the others. Both are from the same source, and therefore, when you want to think about superiority, the only superiority is on the basis of piety. Atqakum. The superior one is the one who has the most taqwa. Otherwise, there is no superiority in Islam of one race over another, of one person over another, of one tribe over another. Absolutely none. This is reinforced by the Khutbah al-Wada, the Khutbah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam during his last Hajj, where he said, no Arab is superior to a non-Arab, no white man is superior to a black man, nobody is superior to each other, and the only one who is superior in the eyes, in the sight of Allah, is the one who is atqakum, in akramakum, in the Allahi atqakum. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand this. Islam is the probably the only religion which not only does not accept racial discrimination, but Islam directly stands against it. Islam is anti-racist. It has nothing to do with black and white. Remember, I can tell you, in white superiority or white supremacy is something we talk about in America and in other places, you know, within quotes, white man's country. But black supremacy is an equal issue in African countries, right? I have seen that, I have encountered that, where Indians are discriminated against by African black people. Islam says very clearly, and of course Indians are among the most racist of people going. Indians discriminate against black people and Indians suck up to white people. This is in our culture in India. Right? And if you don't believe me, go and look at matrimonial ads, all of which ask for a bride who is fair. And believe me, that has nothing to do with her sense of justice. You're talking about color of skin. That fairness screams. Fairness screams have the biggest market in Africa and India. By India, I mean India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, the subcontinent. Fairness screams. And these are not creams which if you put on, you become more just. It is to lighten the color of your skin and probably give you some skin cancer in the process. That if you hate your own skin, believe me, there's no need for anyone to feel superior to you. You are demeaning yourself because you don't even like your own face. You don't like the fact that you have curly hair, so you want to straighten it. You don't like the fact that you have straight hair, so you want to curl it. You don't like the fact that you have a dark skin, so you want to lighten it. And you don't like the fact that you have a light skin, so you want to go roast in the sun on a beach to darken it. Right? Please, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you. Every single one of you is a marvel of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at yourself, love your creator. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And love your brother and sister, whether they are black or white or green with blue paint on their face. Love them like in the same way, like you love yourself. Be good to them, be kind to them, be compassionate with them. Love them, be nice to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do the same for you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with love for one another, with justice, with a sense of compassion and kindness, and help us to create societies which are just and fair, not white skin, fair as in just. And societies which are compassionate and kind and good to each other and charitable, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.